Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to this special episode of the Black Lace Diaries, brought to you by Late Night Poets at AllPoetry.com. The group hosts shows every night of the week on a variety of topics to ensure that there is something for everyone to enjoy. And if you want to support our shows, we do have anthologies available on Amazon, which boasts a wonderful selection of poetry offered up by the poets of our group. Tonight, we dive behind the veil of intimacy and look at the games that you can play to heighten the senses, crawl inside our lovers' minds and make their imaginations run wild, or perhaps even allow us to give over to raw carnality. In the end, there are no losers, so long as we stick to the rules. Now, if you're ready, step into our dungeon. I, Mistress Frost, and Master M have a very special night lined up. Tonight, we're going to pull you into our web. We're going to play with those that like to be tied up and perhaps those that like to tie up as well, some riggers. But we're going to have a lot of fun, all in all. And how are you tonight, Master M?
Oh, I'm doing okay. It's pretty chilly here. I mean, I know some people will say, it's not that cold, but to me, it's pretty chilly. I guess, as you get older, it gets chillier and chillier, but today, hopefully I can rectify that with some heat, so we'll see.
Well, we always do like a challenge of warming you up, Master M. But yes, I know I've heard that your area has gotten a little bit of a cold wave for you guys, so we will hopefully get it a little warm in here. And I do believe that we also have the ever amazing Aphasiana.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm glad to be back, to be feeling a little better going into tax season. So I'm not sure. But I got better just like through myself. But that's okay. I'm a little bit of a masochist. So it'll be fun. Well, Master M, do you have an idea of where you'd like to start us off this evening?
Well, let's take a look. I usually like to go from top to bottom, so we'll start at the top.
I will say, we were a little short on rights tonight, so if anyone's listening and they would like to call in, we would love to have you. And we do have a lot from our founder, Phil, so we will want to intersperse those. Otherwise, we'll have a whole Phil spotlight, a Phil feature, which I'm not against, but I don't think that's what she wants. So just so you know.
Okay. So the first one that I posted was by Glass Slipper Girl. The poem's name's Freedom. So I think I'll have you read that one.
Sounds good to me. All right, this is Freedom by Glass Slipper Girl. My fierce lover, how you amplify my hunger, commanding me to that place beyond my comprehension, suspending me into another reality, a binding elegance of beauty, tying me up so intricately, exhibiting my body so elaborately, knotting naughty me in your devilish deviousness, so delicious, heightening my senses, shattering all my defenses, carefully subduing my defiance while taming and savoring my silence, enslaving my cravings, yet ultimately elevating such exquisite pleasures as you intensely prolong my arousal with absolutely no intention of being merciful, reigning over my devotion, seizing and controlling my emotions, completely satisfying my greed, relieving my need, owning my body, freeing me, bound before you, I descend, free-falling, crashing, colliding, plummeting back into our world with your masterful technique, so powerfully pleasing, gloriously fleeting, and feeling such freedom, keeping me stimulated, sweet, orgasmic contentment, in being so dominated, dazed, illuminated, sexually intoxicated, I fly, I glide, I soar, flying out of this world, my possessive protector, I'll always be yours. End poem. And Faze, would you start us off with a comment?
Yes, I really loved how this emphasized the freeing feeling of being bound. There's that contrast where you think being bound takes away your freedom, but in this case and in this sense, it actually is freeing to be tied, and I think that's a beautiful contrast. I liked suspending me into another reality. Again, using suspending, as she may be in the ropes or what have you, but it's making it in a metaphorical way too, and this other reality that she has to experience in these moments. A binding elegance of beauty is a really nice way of saying it, and there's such attention to detail. You can tell that there is in the tying, but also in this poem, and it's just so delicate and exquisite, all of it, I don't know, I appreciate that, because even though it can be kind of a rough kink, it also can have this delicateness, and I just love her emphasis on the freeing nature of it.
So I'm really glad that you said that, because one of the things that is so often misunderstood of a sub-dominant relationship is that the submissive is there for the pleasure, for the will, for the desire of the dominant. But there's so much more that is present in those relationships. And so I think you mentioning how it's so freeing is so appropriate, not just because of the title, but because there is that aspect in it. For me, I'm a switch. So sometimes I like to be dominated. Sometimes I like to be submissive, though I tend to lean more towards the submissive in the bedroom, because in my life, I am often so in control. In my profession, people come to me as a point of power, as a point of leadership. And so to be able to let go, to not be in control, to not have to be in command, to not have to worry about if the other person is happy or content or satisfied, and to just be, is a beautifully freeing thing. And you really touched on that with your comment, because that's what this poem, and I agree, that's what this poem really is about. It's about that freeing nature of letting go, of just being, of not having this expectation to perform, but rather getting to just live in this moment, to feel and appreciate the teases and the taunting and the subtle releases of pleasure and pressure. I think that was such a stunning comment, because I think it really hits on the psychological aspect that is so often neglected between a dominant, submissive, or even a binding type of kink. Because it doesn't seem like it would be freeing, but in many ways it psychologically is. And Master M, what did you think of this?
Well, you guys pretty much hit on the points that I was thinking of. Although there is a part here that says, "Nodding, naughty me, in your devilish deviousness, so delicious, heightening my senses, shattering all my defenses, carefully subduing my defiance." I also think that a lot of people misunderstand, like how you said, the relationship, because this type of lifestyle is not for everyone, because it there's a whole lot of trust that goes into these type of scenarios, and to be bound by someone and to give your will over completely to them, it takes a great matter of trust. And in doing, and in the way that she worded in her poetry, it shows that she actually really trusts this person that she's, you know, giving over to and submitting herself to. And that's, to me, that's very important, and it's like liberating, in a sense, as well as being, you know, constricted or confined or, you know, bound or whatever. And it's a liberating feeling for her. It's like how you said, you know, you have a lot of power. Sometimes you can find release in the opposing facet. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. She her wording was awesome, and the way that she presented it was nice, very nice. I liked it.
Oh, it's a fantastic comment, Master M. And I agree. This lifestyle isn't for everyone. And I mean, the unfortunate thing, and part of what we want to do, what we tried to do on this show, is that, you know, this lifestyle really came to light with like 50 Shades of Grey. Now it's getting more publicity, if you will, but 50 Shades of Grey was so far off from what a traditional or a normal BDSM style relationship is. It really is just fantasized sexual abuse. So to have someone show how there is a freeing nature in it, how there's a beauty in it, how it's more than just living at someone's whim, or even that it's just not the lifestyle that they want. This poem, in its beauty, in its descriptions, in its capturing of a sub moment of being bound, it really highlights how this can be more than just sex, but there really is an intimacy to it. So I really love what you said, because you're right, this lifestyle is not for everyone, but it's not a terrible lifestyle either. It's not this always R-rated. There's still those playfulness and the beauty and the sensuality of it. It's not just two people getting off or getting their kicks off. So I'm not making sense, I don't think, but I think that was a fantastic comment. And I do want to wish welcome Pam to the show. How are you tonight, Pam?
Hi, Victoria. Hi, Mr. M. Good to hear you both.
Likewise.
Yeah. Good to have you here.
Is Daisy here with us, or is she just hanging on the board?
I'm here.
No, she's here with us.
Oh, she is. Good. Very cool.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to hear or read the poem that we were just talking about?
I got to read through it. I have to say, though, after you and Mr. M made such beautiful comments, it's really almost intimidating to follow them. But I really like how there's, like, she starts out with, my fierce lover, how you amplify my hunger, commanding me to that place beyond my comprehension. I like how there's that sense of guidance and trust, and that it's someone who, like, what I like about this is there's a really well-balanced sense of give and take, that it's not just one person taking their pleasure, but two people finding pleasure in the relationship, in the moment. So really just a great write all the way through, and very well done.
I love what you said there, though, too, that there's trust in this, and that it's not all just about taking or all about giving. And again, I think that misunderstanding of this lifestyle, that people who don't necessarily participate as deeply, and those who may have just read like a 50 Shades of Grey type book and assume that's what it's like, there really is a deep resounding need for trust in these relationships, and there really is a give and take on both sides. And so I think that your words speak so poignantly to the heart of this piece, because it's not, again, about just getting your rocks off. It's about that connection, about that trust, about the ability to rely on the other person to take care of you, even though you're kind of left helpless. So I think that was such a beautiful and insightful comment, Pam. Thank you so much for that. And Master M, where would you like to take us to next?
Well, we have one by Poetic Picasso. And I think it has a SoundCloud, if I'm correct. So
yes.
I will post that one, and if I can find that one. Okay, so here it is, Tempt Me by Poetic Picasso.
Me, amor. I am spellbound by the daring temptation of your cherry glass. as the exotic winds of passion sweep me into their sensuality. I can drink from the sweet fountain of your elixirous lips, tease you with the tickling tips of my smooth fingers of flirtation. I want to strip the unloosened threads of your silk garments, rub slowly against the surface of your intimate skin, aroused, press and coil like a serpent around you, then flesh to flesh, exploring the most sinful parts of your wet dreams, uncovered. In the naked glow of the moonlight, I yearn to play a naughty game and slide into the deep crevice of your begging valley, so lush, be soaked in the dripping sweat of the hot nocturnal vapors, covering us in a pouring pool of uncontrollable eroticism. I nibble on the delicious peaks of your melting mounds exposed, licking the aphrodisiac moisture of their abundant creamy flow, sip from the erogenous liquid of a sultry seduction exhibited, riding the climax of the high tide of your curvaceous hips. Tempt me with the sizzling words of your ignited fire. Be the inflammable fuel burning in my lustful inferno, reducing me to the orgasmic ashes of our sexual bondage, where I burst in the provocation of a midnight dance of the moon. Tu cuerpo es mi ambrosía, tus ojos son mi atracción, tus palabras mi atrevimiento, tu pasión mi exploración. Your body is my ambrosia, your eyes are my attraction, your words my boldness, your passion my exploration. Olé. Ole. In the bone.
A fantastic read and write by Poetic Rhythm. And we do always love it when, if you can't call in, being able to provide a SoundCloud so that we can hear your work in your own voice. It's always something special, because to hear the author in their words, it's the truth. It's what Capuce is meant to be, instead of where I might put a different inflection, or Master M might, or Faze the Pan. So thank you, Frank, a.k.a. Poetic Picasso, for that, as well as a gentle urging for any of our listeners. If you ever want to have your work featured but don't want to call in, we would love to still have a SoundCloud. And Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Well, yeah, first of all, SoundClouds are always appreciated, and that was a beautiful read. I thought this had a wonderful imagery throughout. Let's see, I want to strip the unloosened threads of your silk garments. I really like sensual poetry that has lines that start with, I want, you know, I need, I am going to, because to me, I think communication is a very important aspect, including the sensual and the erotic. I also really like how he says, reduce me to the orgasmic ashes of our sexual bondage, and it's our sexual bondage. So you never really fully know who exactly is being tied up. Maybe they're taking turns, but you get the idea that they are both, like, bonded to each other. And of course, as I always say with Frank's poetry, muy caliente. Oh, very well done.
wonderfully said, and I agree. Muy caliente is perfect. But I like what you said there about this idea. We aren't quite sure who's bound and who is binding and who is being bound. And it really does remind us of the way that you can get wrapped up within your lover, that even if one is physically bound, you're still able to mentally bind the other, or even perhaps there's just those legs twisting together so that it seems as if you are just one organic living knot. I think that was such a beautiful comment. And as always, Frank truly lives up to his name. The imagery really is like a piece of Picasso that you can't help but sit and look at and admire each of the little nuances. It's stunning. And Faith, what did you think?
I think his audios are so intense. Like, wow, Frank. I like what you and Pam said about not being clear which person is bound and that being a good thing. I also like that it's written to his lover. It's one thing to tell the story, and it can be nice from the third person as well, but having it written to the lover lets the reader imagine that they are the person receiving this attention, and I think it captures the audience in a special way. I liked the way he said, "Of your begging valley so lush." He uses so much imagery, and there's definitely, like, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, like, texture to his poems. Like, sometimes something is imagery and you can see it, or sometimes you can imagine, you can smell it. With him, you can, like, feel it. I don't know, he seems like he goes into the texture sense. Texture is not the right word, but tactile? Yes, tactile. I'm going to go
with that. Tactile. Yeah.
And I like that he includes a little bit of Spanish in there.
So I love what you said, because I feel like in some ways it also mirrors a part of Pam's comment that he's writing it in such a way that the reader can, or the audience, feels like it's almost written to them. And that reminded me of what Pam said about liking that it's written in the I want, because this isn't just describing a scene. It is someone expressing that desire of what they want to do. And it feels almost like those playful texts that you might send your lover throughout the day of, you know, when I get home, I want to shed my clothes. I want to, strip the day from me until I am bare. You know, that kind of, and you can cloak me in your tongue. Okay, now I'm thinking of fun things. Anyways, but it's those fun, playful, flirty texts, those little things that are almost foreplay. That lead us up to that anticipation, the want, the desire. And he does that so effectively in this. He has that idea of, I yearn to play a naughty game and slide into the deep begging valley of lust, so lush. It tells us exactly what he wants to do. And yet we know that right now he doesn't get to touch us. He doesn't get to act on that. So it lets our mind run with that, with the, like you said, the tactile feel of it, with the idea of how that might be done, how that might look. So I love what you said, because you're right, there really is that tactile feel, and the Spanish interwoven really does feel like those whispers that you'd get from a Latin lover in your ear. Just beautiful comment, Faith. And Master M, what did you think of this?
Well, poetry, as you know, is about expression for the most part. And I feel that people being able to relate to what you're saying is kind of like the goal, you know, like to get people in the same headspace as you were when you wrote the poem. And the way that he describes a lot of these the scenes and his desires and his wording really puts you there, puts you into his headspace. And from there, you can set up which position you'd like to take, which is another good, like how you guys pointed out, like you can, it can be either or. And I think that it takes a lot of skill to do that. And I got a new level of respect because I like Frank's poetry. Because he's been on the show quite a bit, and I've got to read quite a few of his. But I've gotten even more drawn in each time I see a poem from him because I'm a very visual person, that's been stated before. So when he draws you in like with those visuals, I'm there. You know, my favorite part of this one, obviously, is I nibble on the delicious beaks of your melting mounds exposed, licking the aphrodisiac moisture of their abundant creamy flow, sipping from the erogenous liquid of a sultry seduction exhibited, riding the climax of the high tide of your curvaceous hips. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it that you all haven't already said, other than great job, Frank. And yeah, that's a great poem.
I love that you brought up that one, especially because as a visual person, I'm sure that it leaves that beautiful image of this feast, if you will. Even as a relatively straight woman, it's such a beautiful way that he describes the lushness of this woman that he's exploring and playing with. And so to me, trying to get into the male headspace, if you will, it's so seductive. It's so delicious. It sounds lush. The idea of the flesh, the mounds that melt, those fleshy mounds, the way that they melt. So I love that you said that because it really does sound like a feast. And where would you like to take us to now, Master M?
Okay, well, next in line will be The Pleasure Store by Talia R. I'll post it into the group. And Faziana, if you'd like to read it, it's all yours.
Sure. Pleasure Store by Talia R. Erica was just about getting comfortable in her sexy lace bunny suit when Tommy walked in, looking all dapper in his policeman costume. He gave her the biggest smile, walked over to her, and immediately handcuffed her to the king-sized bed. Erica tried to wriggle her way out, to no avail. Tommy's smile got brighter by the minute. "You are now my prisoner. Any request you lose your mind?" said Tommy. "Loose me," Erica shouted. Immediately, Tommy started to kiss her earlobes and blowing on them. Then he moved down to the back of her neck and shoulders, moving next to her breast. He had hit the jackpot right then, and there she began speaking in another language. He took a minute to undress her, and then feasting on her gorgeous body, he kissed from her forehead to her toes. He spared nowhere. He let her have it all. Despite her pleas, he made sure she was well satisfied. He was her sugar tonight, and he sweetened her tea fantastically and romantically. Next scene, she was given red wine, and she followed red petals to the staircase. Tommy was there, waiting, machine in hand, she was ordered, sit comfortably and ride all night, because tonight she was Bunny, and he was Clyde. They had the most fantastic night. End poem.
Fantastically read, Faze. Thank you. I think what I like about this is that there's more of a playful nature here. And sometimes I think that when you're talking about meeting someone else's desires, there's a little bit of heat and fire and intimacy or pain or what have you, but they don't often think of playfulness. They don't often think of little giggles and jokes and the idea of a role play going or starting with a guy saying, now you're my prisoner, any request, you lose your mind. There's that playfulness, there's that fun that's in this piece. And I think that's what I really enjoy about this, is they're playing with different avenues of various kinks. They have some pleasure play. They have some bondage. They have some role playing. They have some submission and dominance. They have a little bit of everything in here. And none of it is so overtly horrendous that it seems like someone who even follows, not that I can really say that, but it seems like someone who follows a more vanilla life would be like, oh, that might be something I'd be willing to try. That doesn't sound too bad. It's one of those welcoming pieces that makes it more accessible for everyone, I think. And I think that it's just delightful. It's sensual. It's delicious. There's those imagery, the imagery interwoven therein of how he is feasting upon her, but there's also that connection. And I think that's what makes this such a Sir M. What did you think of this?
Well, you know, as Viziana was reading, it did make me smile because it was like a very playful piece as far as, you know, it's very light, more of a lighthearted way of presenting it. It was just a whole lot of, I don't know, how can you say that? There's a whole lot of, I don't know, just playfulness there. I don't know what another word to describe it at the moment, but I did like the fact that they started off in one scenario and almost, you know, immediately switched to a different one in the blink of an eye, unless maybe some time passed between then and then. But either way, it's a whole lot of fun. So, like how you said, it is a good like an introductory type of poem to kind of shed some light on the lifestyle. Like how you said, yeah, I may want to try that. It gets people kind of engaged, and it kind of presents it as though, well, maybe that's not too bad. And then from there, who knows what will happen. You know, maybe they'll go deeper into it, or maybe they'll find out that it's not for them. But to be able to inspire people is probably the greatest part of poetry. So I think that, yeah, that just did a great job.
Oh, that was beautifully said. And I actually really like what you said, too, about how it offers the opportunity for people to try it. And maybe it's not for them, or maybe they dive deeper. And it really reminded me that having a kink does not mean that you have to go to the extreme. Liking being bound does not mean that you have to go to the point where you're using devices or ball gags or all these different things. That is not necessarily for the beginner. And there's definitely people who are into that and do want to go that far. But it's okay also to just want to start with maybe not being able to see your lover, like maybe just put on the blindfold. Those things are okay too. There's no right way, or I mean, there is a wrong way to do this stuff, but there's each person gets to decide how they want to do this and how they want to approach it. And like you said, this is such a fantastic piece that opens that door and says it doesn't have to be all super serious and the really hard stuff that 50 Shades like to portray. So I think that was a beautiful comment. And Pam, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I really liked this. And you're all right. There is a kind of sense of playfulness, a sense of experimenting. And I really like how she created these two characters, this Tommy and Erica, and how... you know, because a lot of times we express our inner desires best through characters. And so it brings to mind kind of like role-playing. I know, well, it seems like, and well, I know you always say, Victoria, that there's a kink for everything. And there's people that seem to really get off on the idea of role-playing a Bonnie and Clyde type relationship where there's that kind of, energy that comes from living on the edge of, you know, that adrenaline rush. And so I think that the idea of role-playing is in here, and the offering up of Bonnie and Clyde makes for the idea of, you know, looking for adventure in the bedroom. So just a really great write and very well done.
I really love what you said there, because there is that play on Bonnie and Clyde, and it's a bunny and Clyde. But using it as an opportunity for an adventure within the bedroom, I think that's actually a really fantastic way of looking at it, because sometimes an adventure is just that. It's a fun night where you try things, maybe with a little less apprehension than before, but you give those extra little and you try those little daydreams that maybe you haven't been ready to try before. And it allows for that night where it seems almost devious. I think that was a beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you for that. And Faith, you got to read it. What did you think?
Well, I like what you guys were just saying about the Bonnie and Clyde kind of vibe. And I thought it was cute that they changed it to Bunny and Clyde. Just a different twist on it in her sexy, lacy bunny suit. I thought this was playful, like everybody was saying, and that it is kind of that accessible kind of hint into the lifestyle. Like, I'm kind of too vanilla for this show, to be honest. So I like the subtleties because it feels like doable. So I totally get what you mean with that comment. I found the line breaks a little bit difficult for reading out loud because it stopped in places that I didn't expect, so I hope I didn't totally butcher it. But it was interesting in the way that it was put together. Just interesting pauses. And I like that it had a variety of things in it. It seemed like they were having a fun night of exploring different styles, so that's fun.
Faith, you say that you're a little too vanilla for this show, but I know you wrote in for at least our little role play thing, and it was spicy. So I'm not sure. You might be like a spicy vanilla kid. That's what I'm going to believe. You're spicy vanilla. But no, that was a fantastic comment.
I think
we'll
call that horchata.
Yes, horchata. But no, it was, I think what you said was so beautiful, because there, and even Pam mentioned it, you know, oftentimes there's a kink for everybody. There's something that we're all interested, be it a fantasy or a whim or just something that kind of gets you going. There's, everybody has their own thing that they enjoy, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's, that's part of the beauty of this show, is trying to explore those varying things so that people can connect with it, that we can normalize some stuff, or maybe we can open that door. And this piece is such a beautiful opportunity, I think, for exactly that, because in so many ways it features that open door, that invitation to try, even if it is just handcuffing your partner to the master bed. So fantastic, you said. And Master M, where would you like to take us to now?
Well, I was wondering, does Pam, do you have a piece that you'd like to read today, or are we reading off the board?
I did put it right on the board, but I can hold off until contest rights are over.
We are officially done with the contest rights after that one. So we have 5 poems from Phil that we need to break up, because we don't need to do a Phil feature spotlight in the middle of the show. And then we've got... I mean, I'm all for it. I don't think she would be for it. So we've got some pieces from Pam, or not from Pam, from Phil. We've got an off-topic write that I've provided. I know that Master M has one. Faye, spicy vanilla.
Naomi,
our little Lord Chata.
I put one on the board that Simon Guest gave to me to put on the board and gave permission for.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Yep. So,
okay.
you want to read that one then, Pam? The Simon Guest one?
That one has to be read by a male.
Oh, okay.
That would
Master
be you.
Master M, would you like to read the Simon Guest one?
That would be me. Okay. let's see. Let me open this up. And post it to the board.
So are we doing still in between each one?
I mean, we're gonna start doing that here soon.
Yeah. All right. So this one's called The Voyeur's Control by Simon Guest. Hands around my throat, softly squeeze as I bite down on worn, salty leather. You keep my gaze whilst the thin strip on wood swiftly comes down, causing striations of every color. Velvet sweeps across my body. Feathers explore every curve, every crevice, each knowing their effect, soothing, stimulating. Even more so, with my own voyeur, I crave your touch, be it with pain or pleasure. It is you in control. I am yours, under your spell. End poem.
Fantastically read, Master Om. Thank you for that. And since Pam brought this one to us, Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really liked this one. I liked that there was an appreciation for not only the physical beauty of a woman, but the mental beauty of a woman who is in control, who knows her own power. And I like that this fits in well with the show, even though it's not about necessarily tying. But I particularly like Velvet Sweeps Across My Body, Feathers Explore. You know, the idea of that, the eroticism that comes with the gentle touch of a feather. I also like, as I bite down on worn, salty leather, you keep my gaze. I thought that was an important part, too, in the whole idea of that, you know, the whole idea that how important it is to keep eye contact, you know, in some situations. Obviously not everyone, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, there's this kind of sense, not only of connection, but this, I can't quite explain. I'm trying to find the right words. There's almost this really this strong feeling of empowerment when looking into each other's eyes. So just a really great write and very well done.
Well, and I agree. There really is that cerebral connection that doesn't always necessarily mean that there's physical activity going on. Sometimes it's just looking into their eyes, watching their facial features, seeing the pleasure of the moment upon them that heightens your own. And that's one of the things too, and we haven't really gone into this on this show, but there are domes or female doms that actually don't do anything intimately with their subs, or they don't do really anything sexually with their subs. That this life is not always about the act of sex. In fact, in many ways, it's more of that cerebral game, that connection, that trust, those moments of release, even if it is being bound up or whipped, no matter what your personal pleasure is. It doesn't always involve an orgasm. And so I think from what I was getting with you, Pam, is that sometimes that connection is what really matters, getting to look into your lover's eyes, getting to have that moment where it's just that intensity of being fully present and seeing them reciprocate that back. It's that cerebral connection that creates those really heightened emotions and intimacy. And that doesn't always involve the actual act of procreation. So I think that's actually a really important point to bring up. So thank you for that. That was really fantastic. And I do have to step away for a hot second, but Faith, would you mind giving a comment?
Sure. I find it interesting that it's the voyeur's control, because I always thought of the voyeur as like the person who just likes to watch and isn't involved. But in this case, I think he's the voyeur in that while he's experiencing things, he's not the one acting. He's being acted upon. So he's just watching what's happening to him. It's just, I don't know, I've never thought of that being the voyeur, so I find that interesting. I liked how tactile this was, again, where it's talking about the different kinds of feelings that things can give you, the feathers, the leather, the wood, like there's all different kinds of texture, and like there's soft and there's hard and there's, I don't know, the taste of it too, the salty leather, that adding that salty there, I think, is an important word. It's amazing how one word can just change the whole line, and really make it like the experience of tasting the leather. Very well done.
Yeah, I agree. That was probably my favorite part, was the bite down on salty leather, because it kind of explores more than just, you know, the visual aesthetic. It's you know, if you're biting down on the leather, it involves like taste with the salt, and then you know, the feel of the feather, you know, the touch, and the sight of the eyes staring into each other. So, you know, he's hitting on a lot of the five senses, that, and that's what's really key in these type of poems, especially, is you got to hit on those, press those buttons, so to speak, you know. And I think he really did a good job in hitting the nail on the head as far as that goes. And also, there was one other thing. Where it says feathers explore every curve, every crevice, each knowing their effect. The intent is there, and the intent is having the desired effect. And, you know, you're being in that situation. To be satisfied is kind of the ultimate goal, but in some regards, it's satisfying the other person. So this one, I haven't read many. I may have been missing out, but I haven't heard many sensual ones from Simon Guest. Maybe I'm missing some. But this is really awesome, if it's something he doesn't really do, especially. So, yeah, that was a great poem. So... since our hostess is away, I will take things and let's see. So, Pam, since you got out of the last read, I'll have you read this one.
Mm-hmm. Time for Mr. M to take the reins and ride the ponies.
There you go. You got it. All right. So this is for Pam. It is by Fill My Eyes.
This is Us Two by Fill My Eyes, and it goes like this. Strong lips, soft breath, a kiss, a nip, gentle touch, a fingertip, warm embrace, lover's eyes, whispered words, gentle sighs, two bodies shudder to a silken dew, sweet release. Between us two, and poem.
You know, I know that Miss Phil doesn't like to usually read her own poetry, but she does a great job, especially with sensual poetry. Like I've seen, she's really made the rounds with it as far as like goes. Like it makes me smile, because she used to be kind of embarrassed to share them. And she's kind of opened up a lot as far as that goes over the years, and I'm glad to have known her. Anyways, not to go down another rabbit hole, but yeah, this was very simple. Like, it was very simply expressed, but, you know, it entails many of the best parts about, you know, the intimacy, you know, the strong lips and soft breath, a kiss, a nip, a gentle touch, you know, of a fingertip, you know. So, as I said before, touching on all those bases as far as the senses go, you can really put yourself in the situation. And I really like poems like that that can do that. And it's very, very short. Like, there's a brevity, and it encapsulates so much. Like, there's so much there. So many, you can even say emotions and feelings and what have you. So, yeah, I thought that was a great piece. But thanks for sharing that with us, Miss Jean. What did you think, Cezanne?
I like it. I think you're right that it lets you put yourself into it. Like, you can experience it along with her. I like that there's the contrast again between the strong and the soft. I think having that balance works really well in a lot of ways. So the having one line that's talking about something being strong and then moving on to the soft is good, because even the lips themselves are probably both strong and soft. And then a kiss, which is gentle, and then a nip, which could be less gentle. And then the gentle touch of the fingertip. So there's so much that you can actually, like, feel along with this. And I like that they shudder to a silken dew. It's worded very beautiful. It's short lines and a short poem, but it opens your imagination, so I like it.
Very well said. It seems that our hostess has returned. Miss Frost, are you there?
I was enjoying being a little bit of a voyeur myself there for a moment, just getting to listen to everybody. So, well, I thought that this was a fantastic piece. While it doesn't necessarily seem like overtly in the kink kind of area, it does remind us what intimacy looks like. And that, I think, is seen across all forms of physically intimate time. You don't have to have these faux sensual moments with your lover for it to be intimate. There can be other moments where things are a little harder, are a little deeper, but it's the how it ends that really matters. It's the attention during the act. It's the care afterwards, because there are plenty of times. I mean, let's be honest, like, we've all, I think, all had an experience where you thought you had a very intimate moment and the other person just kind of rolls away and goes about their day. There's nothing that connects you after the fact. And so it's a reminder that intimacy is not defined by the act, but by the people and the relationship and the care that they give. And I think that Phil's poem really highlights that. It's that during, before, during, and after attention to the person you're with, that really creates that binding intimacy, not exactly how you show that sexual desire. So I thought this was just a marvelous piece. And did everybody get a chance to comment on this one? Did you get a chance, Master M?
Yeah, I did. Pam can comment. She's the one who read.
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I like how it centered and shaped almost like an arrow pointing in the right direction. I thought that was really cool. And I like that this is, that in the end, that sweet release between us two. I like that the idea of them both having their orgasms simultaneously, finding that release of pleasure simultaneously. Just really an excellent write and very well done.
That was really beautiful. And I think, honestly, I think that's kind of like the pinnacle of intimacy, is that orgasm at the same time, because we so often hear about how one party gets off a little quicker than the other and then loses interest or it becomes unenjoyable. So I think that seeing that there can be that sun at the same time, the start of the sea. Oh well, it's gone. It's life. Having that, seeing that unity, seeing that attention, pacing yourself is really a beautiful testament to that intimacy. So that was a beautiful. Naomi's listening to us and laughing at me for losing my words. That's fine. But no, that was a fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you for that. And Master M, where would you like to take us to now?
Let's see. I seem to have lost the page with, you know, my thousands of tabs open. So let me get back to it. Okay, so Naomi posted one. I will have Faziana read that. Let me post it into the group.
Roll and Bind Me by Naomi Farah. Pluck me out of a highland breeze, mountain grown, loose leaf green. Roll and bind me into tight tide bulbs, pressing me firmly to your palm. String me up to dry inside your heated breath. Brew me into a blooming tea, pupils dilated wide, scarlet streaks upon my cheeks. Inhale the floral scents of jasmine and rose lily pulsating from my skin. Expand and unfurl my pearled petals into bleeding blushes of coppery creams. Sip, suck, and savor my every flowery flavor tingling upon your tongue. Re-steep me till I reach the peak of my insanity and drown inside your mouth in thrills of exotic eccentricity. End poem.
Oh, that was a beautiful read, Faziana, and such a marvelous note by Naomi Farah. I think what I really love about this is that you can read it in one way as just creating a tea ball. And I actually love blooming tea, so I getting to read this and knowing what it looks like, the way that the tea kind of unfurls, and it really does bloom. It looks like a weird little ball of herbs, and then it just opens up in the water, and it's beautiful and it's fantastic. But what I love about this is that it also has that innuendo. It has the beauty and the care that goes into a relationship, into that trust, into knowing your lover, because we can all be good at the act of sex, but it does not necessarily mean that you are truly a lover, because a lover means that you know your person, you know their ins and outs, you know their little areas that tickle and those ones that make them moan and writhe in all the right ways. It's knowing them and taking the time and the care to shape and know and caress them to reach their peak. I have to get a little giggle out of this because there was actually a whole, and I think it was like 7 or 8 years ago, but one of the ways when the Me Too movement first started was they talked about making tea. And the whole metaphor of it was that you can ask someone, would you like to make tea? And they can say, yeah, sure, I'd like to make tea. And then it starts and they say, you know, I actually am not feeling like tea. And so the process stops. And the whole point of it is that all along the way, you're able to change your mind, which is something that the BDSM community really adheres to. Not that other communities don't, but they've always been all about enthusiastic consent. And so making tea became one of those little memes, if you will, for a while there that hinted at sex, at intimacy, at physical intercourse. And I love that she's combined those two in this, whether she did that intentionally because of that, or if it was just this beautiful combining of the two. I love the play on that because it does remind how important consent is, but that with a good lover, they will be able to see that consent, see the desire, see who you are and what you are made of. And even if you look rough, they can still help you, the beauty of you. That is never lost, no matter what you've been through and no matter how dried out you think you might be. I think this is just a beautiful rite. And Pam, what did you think of this?
This is just absolutely stunning. I love how she used the blooming tea as an extended metaphor. I have to say, I've always, you know, those blooming teas just look absolutely fascinating and beautiful. Another thought I want to throw in here, unrelated, but I just don't know when else to throw it in, is I don't know how it came about that people use vanilla to mean something boring. Because, think about it. Every baked good we want to taste good, we put vanilla in. Women used to wear vanilla on their pulse points to attract their men. You know, it's a natural aphrodisiac. So, sorry, I know that's slightly off topic, but I just always found it interesting that people refer to something that we use so much to add flavor to be something boring. With Naomi, I really like how, as you were mentioning, Victoria, how there's this sense of someone knowing their lover, of giving them the chance to unfurl and to reach their peak. I really like sip, suck, and savor my every flowery flavor tingling upon your tongue. And brew me into a blooming tea, pupils dilated wide, scarlet streaks upon my cheeks. And what I like about that is the fact that it shows somebody paying attention to their lover's physical signals of whether or not they're enjoying. So just a strong rite all the way through and very well done.
And actually, I really appreciate that that you brought up the word vanilla, because it really is a luxurious flavor. And I don't know the full history. I know it's because actually of colonialism that it came to be about. But my computer just did something weird. So, anyway.
Oh, cool.
I know. But colonialism, there's something, it's something about colonialism that caused it to become what it is. And I think that truthfully, vanilla is one of those that if you get a true vanilla extract, if you get the vanilla in alcohol, it is fantastic. But we also have that artificial vanilla, which is just not as fantastic. And so I think, you know, you think of vanilla and it's just white and it's not anything fun when you look at all the other flavors. But there's actually it's actually ingrained in the history as to what causes that word to mean boring. So really, truly, I don't think that there's anything wrong with someone who calls themselves vanilla. It's just like, sorry, cried in my throat from getting over my cold, but it's just like the idea that I don't think that there's anything wrong with only being interested in one gender. I mean, we have this beautiful awakening where people are getting to experience and flourish and be who they want to be when it comes to physical intimacy. There's nothing wrong with that. There's also nothing wrong, I think, because I classify myself as straight. I'm willing to do stuff with a woman, but it's really not who I look at. I don't really find an appeal in the female anatomy. It's just not my cup of tea, to steal Naomi's metaphor here. But there's nothing wrong with me having this heavily male preference. There's nothing wrong with a woman finding another woman beautiful. There's nothing wrong with a man finding another man beautiful or appealing. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having multiple partners. That's something I've done too. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just people getting to explore and be and shape who they want to be. And so I agree. I think vanilla is not the right word for that kind of preference because it's still just as luxurious. It's still just as delectable. It's still just as rich and beautiful and creamy and everything that you want. It's just not with all the extra sprinkles, but it can have its own sprinkles in its own way. So I actually love that you kind of talked on that, because it's, I don't think that it should be considered boring. It's just a different flavor of ice cream, you know? So I love that you brought that up. And Master M, what did you think of this?
Well, just as I said, I'm a sucker for visuals. I'm also a sucker for metaphor. So I do have a poem along the same lines about a food product too, actually, that I may share sometime in the show. I don't know if I'll do it today because it's kind of off topic, but we'll see what happens. Anyways, there's a whole lot of creativity that goes into, you know, linking the two, you know, the pluck me out of a highland breeze, mountain groom, loose leaf green, roll and bind me into tight tide bulbs, pressing me firmly to your palm. So, you know, when as she's going through the process of the whole, you know, tea making, so to speak, you just start to it starts to kind of dawn on you, wow, there's more parallels here than, you know, you first would have thought. And then she goes deeper into it. Brew me into a blooming tea, pupils dilated wide, scarlet streaks upon my cheeks, you know. So it gets more and more intense as the process is, you know, continuing, and everything is exuding and multiplying and growing, blooming, until, you know, the satisfaction at the end. So yeah, I thought it was very rich and flavorful, well done, and I appreciate the creativity and the intellect that goes into making something like this and binding those two topics together. So I liked it a lot.
That is a really fantastic comment, and I really like how you brought in even the blooming and growing and adding and compounding. And it actually reminded me of the Chinese tea ritual. When you drink Chinese tea, part of the failure of like the American tea is that we have these little tea bags, and you soak them once, and then they're just not great. If you don't brew them right the first time, it's too watery, and it's just not great. They're not meant for multiple brews. But in Chinese culture, you would take an orange tea, which is actually an orange packed with tea leaves. And the first tea, you steep it, and then the first tea actually goes to your tea pets. And they're the ones that are like, yep, it's ready. No, it needs a little more. But as you steep it more and more, tea blooms and becomes more poignant, more flavorful. And there's different profiles that come out in it. And this actually, what you were saying in this poem actually remind me of that building, of the re-steeping, of the growth and the beauty of the tea, and appreciating each step that goes along its way, each little moment of appreciating that early steep to the late one, to those middle ones that are vibrant and flavorful and beautiful. I think that was such a fantastic comment, and it really reminded me of even that taking that time to appreciate and make it more than what it is. Take that time to, for example, with that orange tea, taking that time to watch it grow and steep over and over again, and how different beauties come from it. I think that was just fantastic. So thank you for that, Master M. And Faze, what did you think of this?
I loved it. I was really happy that I got to be the one to read it. I thought it just had a beautiful flow. It was such a great extended metaphor. I've never thought of tea as sexy before, but this whole poem really was. And it amazed me how well it fit the topic. And yet it could be about tea, but it's not. It's about more. It works on multiple levels. And I think that does, like Mr. M said, take a lot of intelligence to write the double layered innuendo type pieces. I thought it was beautiful and classy, and had the naughtiness built in just right. I don't know. I thought it was beautiful. Naomi, it's well crafted.
That was such a beautiful comment, and I'm glad that you got to enjoy reading it. Not that I got to pick that, but I'm glad that you got to enjoy reading it because you did read it so marvelously. And again, just what both of you said, there really is an intelligence behind this, not just in the metaphor, not just in the way it was written to overlay and have that dual meaning, but even the way in which she wrote the imagery, the progress, the growth within it. It was all just truly stunning. So thank you, Naomi, for sharing that with us. And Master M, where would you like to take us to now?
Well, we'll hop to another one of Jean's writes, and I'll have you read this one. It is Winter's Hands. I posted it.
All right. There we go. This is Winter's Hands by Fill My Eyes. Morning of winter arrives, bitter winds replacing sun's warmth. Autumn gives in to his icy grip, cold, cruel hands drawing her closer, chilling her to the very core. She can no longer deny him. She now belongs to him. There is no escape. Under her mantle of leaves, sleeping once more, deep beneath this winter snow, waiting patiently for spring's sweet release and poem. Oh, I love that. That's just a beautiful, beautiful poem. And Faith, would you start us off with your thoughts on this?
I'm still processing it, but yes. I really like that she uses the seasons in this. I think that nature works so well in metaphors. About sensual things, about love, about really, like, nature can just say anything you want it to say. I like the transition between the seasons and the submission, I guess, to him there, where she can no longer deny him. She now belongs to him. There's this letting go and accepting that this is the way things are going to go. And under her mantle of leaves, sleeping once more deep beneath the winter snow. And there's this patience of waiting for the release of spring. There's anticipation. She says so much without directly saying it. And I really appreciate the subtlety of this piece. I thought it was beautiful.
Oh, that was such a beautiful comment. And I agree. There really is that beautiful submission that's shown in this, the hope, the desire, the subtlety of love and need and intimacy. That was just really beautifully said. And Pam, what did you think of this?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. I like how Phil often does sensuality with this extended metaphor and this wonderful, delicate touch. And yet you so clearly know that this is a poem about submission. The wonderful personification of the seasons, and as Afasiana said, you know, with the seasons and nature being used, you can express these thoughts in a way that is just poetically beautiful. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Beautifully said, Pam. And I agree. There is a real beauty of being able to express your thoughts in nature. And I've always appreciated nature in the way that it reflects human emotion, human want and desire. we can so easily put hope and sadness and fear and need and want into weather, into the season, to aspects of life. And Phil has really mastered that. So I agree. She really beautifully brings us poetry that makes us stop and think and reflect, even in our own experiences in work that can be seen as just this beautiful representation of a season or a season's change, but also brings so much more to the table. And Master M, what did you think of this?
Well, when I first read it a while back, it still has the same effect as far as I really enjoyed the way that you put it together, the cycle, like, you know, because just as seasons work in cycles, so do people, you know, everything is interwoven and connected in one way or another. And the area of whether it be one person that cycles around, or you cycle to other people even, we're creatures of habit. And in this, it kind of shows that, you know, she can no longer deny him. She now belongs to him. There's no escape under her mantle of leaves, sleeping once more deep beneath the winter snow. So it starts in winter and ends in winter, and deathly waiting for spring. So there seems to be that there is some type of sexual relationship. But sometimes, I mean, to me, it seems like there's also a desire for some reprieve in some regard, or maybe I'm, you know, reading it wrong, but it seems as though it's almost only sexual, and they want them to go away until it's time to come back again. You know, I don't know if that's how it is, but either way, I like the way that she did it, and I really enjoy her metaphor and with the seasons. So.
I really like what you said there, though, because it can seem like it's all about him, and she just kind of has to succumb and take what it is. And I unintentionally, because I think this is a very intellectual write, I very intentionally let myself go last because I was trying to get my thoughts together. So sorry, guys. but for me, and I like what you said about us being creatures of habits, because we are. And sometimes it takes a drastic change for us to change that. And so what this made me think of is she speaks at first of herself as autumn. The first morning of winter arrives, bitter wind, replacing sun's warmth. Autumn gives in to his icy grip, cold, cruel hands drawing her closer, chilling her to the very core. Sometimes it takes that person to come destroy us so that we can rebuild as spring. And sometimes it is that dominant who comes in and wipes away the colors, maybe not in a good way, maybe in a way that gives us a moment of rest and reprieve that does allow the old and the decay, because let's be honest, as beautiful as autumn is, it's a season of decay. So it allows those leaves to decay. It sets up the opportunity for new life, for those seeds to take root. It gives the first water for all the new life to blossom from. And so in that rest, in that moment of patiently waiting, she then is able to come out in spring, out in the warmth, and thrive and flourish. Because if she had not gone through that decay, if she had not gone through that rest, she would then not be able to thrive in the way that life would allow her to. And I think that that's also this testament of even grief and loss. There are those times where change comes in, not necessarily as a person, but if we look at winter as death, it could even be that death of a relationship. And it actually reminds me of Martha Gettle, who so often writes about the loss of her husband and how she's finding new love. That loss could have been the cold hands of winter that makes her think forever she will be barren, but new life does eventually come. So I think that this can actually be taken in multiple ways. As you all have remarked upon, I think it can be taken in multiple ways. But allows us to look at perhaps the relationships we are in, the places in life we are in, and even give us hope that when we get to some harder places, it doesn't always mean the end. So I thought this is just fantastic. And where would you like to take us to now, Master M?
Well, me and Pam wrote one as a collaboration a long time ago, and I told her she wanted to read it, so I will post it into the group. And it is called Kiss of the Abyss by me and Pam Ree. And she starts us off, and I take the bold.
All right. Chain me to your thoughts. I want to surrender to the mystery of your restless hunger.
You are bound, shackled by the incantation of lust softly whispered upon poised skin.
Lay claim to me with your unyielding grasp. Part the silken shroud of my thighs.
Little one, soaked in pools of rapture, with beads of wanting glazing lips of night, brace your soul for the waves of passion that will crash upon the shores of longing.
I want to be imprisoned in your demanding glance. My ache responds, crying out for your fever touch.
You twitch and squirm in anticipation as I trace your tenderness with fingers driven by sadistic intent. Your will crumbles under the weight of my stare, and your mind, body, and soul now belong to me.
Master, with others I saw the darkness and beauty. With you, I see the beauty and darkness. Press your strength against me and shatter the restless inhibitions of my soul. I would lose myself to a thousand painful deaths to feel you plunge into my melted core.
Those velvety gates of sin beckon my entry, and so they shall have it.
I take your fullness into me, leaving behind shallow emotions, surrendering to unexplored depths.
Each exhilarating thrust pulls you deeper into the abyss, and there is no resisting the debauchery as we cave into ecstasy. And you will know limitless passion as we delve into the nine gates of dark embrace. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. This was marvelous. I mean, this wasn't supposed to be a voyeuristic show, but it's definitely feeling like that. That was amazing, both of you. Thank you, truly, for you both reading that. Faith, would you mind starting us off with your thoughts?
That was an awesome collaboration. I think it worked so well in the back and forth. It was a seamless piece, but it clearly, like, you worked together on it. Like, wow. Really, really nice. I liked part the silken shroud of my thighs and soaked in pool of rapture. I liked those velvety gates of sin beckon my entry. There's so much good in here. Really amazing, and you worked well together. Great write, great read. Well done.
And I can't help but agree with what Faye says. This is such a masterful write. In many ways, it feels like a deal with the devil. I just spaced it. A succubus is a female demon, sexual demon. There's also a male sexual demon.
Incubus.
But it feels like a deal with possibly like the devil or an incubus. It feels like this need, this desire of giving yourself over to the inhibitions, letting yourself fall into sin. And I have to, part of the reason that I think that this deal with the devil or an incubus may be is because you reference, where is it? Oh my goodness. I just thought, there it is at the end. Each exhilarating thrust pulls you deeper into the abyss, and there is no resisting the debauchery as we cave into ecstasy, and you will know limitless passion as we delve into the nine gates of dark embrace. In Dante's Inferno, there are the nine circles of hell. And so that gives me kind of those darker vibes, those the incubus, satanic almost kind of vibe of giving over to the carnality, giving over your will, your desire to worship someone that is probably not God. Not that Christian faith is the end all be all. That's not what this show is about. But there's that falling into a worship of something that would not be seen as holy. There is the offering of themselves, the sacrifice and the taking, and the two mirror each other so much. Chain me to your thoughts. I want to surrender to the mystery of your restless hunger. And then immediately being responded to with, you are bound, shackled by the incantations of lust softly whispered upon poised skin. There is that feeling of a spell. There is the feeling of these incantations. And there is the feeling of giving yourself freely to someone who may not always mean the greatest, but will take everything that they want from you. There is a give and a take and a beauty and a darkness in this, where people start to see what is so appealing about darker things. And yet there is still that edge of danger that you leave us with, wanting to fall in ourselves, but wondering, is this really the path that we're meant to take? It is truly marvelous. You too. Thank you for sharing this. And Master M, where would you like to take us to now?
Let's see. Well, you still have your piece, so why don't we get to that, and then we'll work some more on Jean's pieces.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, I posted in the group, and there you go.
All right, this one is off topic, but it's still fun. This is called Oral Fixation by Victoria Frost. I've watched the waters whip across your skin, boring along the solar stream, achingly etched into your arm by hands more skilled than mine. I've wished to suck upon your spillway, lapping from the lines that lay along you, tracing your texture with the tip of my tongue, committing to memory the ache of your muscles. I've wanted to devour your desire, preying upon your pleasure, massaging each moan with my lips, and know that you are mine. End poem. And Master M, would you mind leading comments on this?
Okay. So oral fixation is definitely a thing. And it's one of those things that's shared by quite a few people. So my favorite part was the way that you wrapped it up, so to speak. And I've wanted to devour your desire, preying upon your pleasure, massage each moan with my lips, and know that you are mine. Like staking claim within the act, you know, like kind of like that in itself is kind of like branding or domination of sorts, like you belong to me now. And then, you know, massage each moan with my lips is, I thought that was a very interesting way of putting it. The way that you guys mastered, like to me, this would be a brevity to me. And the way that you all present your brevity, it's just a whole lot that is locked up inside of it. And it takes a moment to unravel all of the awesomeness in there. But I really enjoyed this part too. I wish to suck upon your spillway, lapping from the lines that lay along you. So, that can be either or. And I really like diversity and the ability to kind of allow my imagination to work its magic along with the words that are spilled there. So yeah, I really like this piece a lot.
Thank you, Master. I appreciate that. And I agree, oral fixation is definitely a thing that many people enjoy, so you gotta leave comments, Master M, because I am terrible about asking people to give me feedback on my own work.
Will do.
She means ask one of us to, but okay, I'll just jump in.
I'm sitting here like, I don't want to be like, Faze, what do you think about my poem?
Okay, I really enjoy this. I love the way that you word things, like spooring along the solar stream, and etched into your arm. The second stanza is my favorite. Lapping from the lines that lay along you, tracing your texture with the tip of my tongue, committing to memory the ache of your muscle. I love that. I love the idea of, like, following the shape of the muscles and wanting to trace it all with your tongue. For me, it's tattoos. I don't know. I have this weird thing about tattoos. Like, I want to touch all the tattoos. So I love the way that you're tracing with the tip of your tongue in here. The idea of preying upon your pleasure. Just the way that you word it is beautiful and intriguing, and I love it.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Pam, what did you think?
I was going to say, so now that I'm on the same board, sorry, I was lost in thinking about stuff. Yes, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I think this is absolutely stunning. I love the title, Oral Fixation. Sporing along the solar stream, achingly etched into your arm. And I've wished to suck upon your spillway, lapping the lines lay along you. I like that there's an expression of what you want. And then the idea to me, the idea I get from this is knowing one's lover, knowing their response. And I like that you bring in the idea of taste along with touch. Preying upon your pleasure, massage each moan with my lips. And know that you are mine. To me, there's such a wonderful sense of connection in knowing that person belongs to you and no one else. So just a really strong sensual rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. It was definitely a fun one to write. I have to say, I wrote this about a year ago for Art of Seduction. And if you guys ever go back and listen to it, or if any of our listeners go back and listen to it, this actually got Rex tongue-tied. So it's my favorite piece that I've written because Rex didn't know how to respond. So where would you like to take us to next, Master M?
Okay, so this next piece is one of Jean's pieces. I will post it to the board. And why don't we have Miss Pam read this one? Are you there, Pam?
She popped away for a hot second. I'll go ahead and give this a read. Strings
okay,
Attached. Fine. Strings Attached by Fill My Eyes. Up, my dear, rise up, my sweet. Rise up upon your pretty feet. You said those words and up I rose, straight up on my tippy toes. No mercy given, no mercy shown. All for his pleasure, just his alone. He leaned back against his desk as I pirouette. An arabesque. Next I brise, the coup de pied, he's ever present at my side. His warmth of touch I did forget, I'm nothing more than his pretty pet. My dance then ended as the night did fall. He said, it's now time for your curtain call. My collar's tight, as you can plainly see. He's lost the love he once held for me. End poem. Oh, this gave me goosebumps. And with Pam being back, Pam, what did you think of this?
Yeah, it's a wonderful rhyme and flow, a beautiful, dark, sensual rite. I love how she used all the different, things, I forget that are attached to ballet, like pirouette and arabesque. This one's kind of got a sad tone in the idea of love lost, so there's this bittersweet tone to this one that really grabs your attention and pulls at the heart. So very well done.
Really beautifully said. And I think that that's actually a really important comment too, because so often we want to think of the sensual side. We want to think of the good kind of sensuality, but even this that has a darker, harder side, it also reminds us how sometimes there's still that unrequited desire. There's still that the loss of interest and the breaking of part of it, be it in a BDSM relationship or just your regular everyday one. There's always going to be those moments that are not what we hoped for, and they're not going to bring about the ends that we wanted. So I think that was a marvelous comment. And Master M, what did you think of this?
I believe, I remember when she first wrote it. I don't know if it was, because I had did a show about marionettes and puppets and things like that, but I'm not sure when it was. But I remember when she wrote this, and I think I even commented on it. It's basically the comment I said was, it was wonderfully melancholic, a tale of what was, what is now, and what was and what is now. It's very tragic and very real. You know, it probably started off a certain way, but then it ended up becoming somewhat, I don't want to say toxic, but unhealthy. The dynamic is just shifted, and seems as though it went from being something to mutating into something else that isn't as healthy as you'd hope. So, you know, some people, as we've said before, some people are not meant for it, and sometimes there tends to be abuse of power or what have you, maybe jealousy. There could be a number of things, but it could also always turn south if you're not careful. So this is kind of, to me, this kind of represents that. And now she feels kind of like she's just a puppet for his desires, and doesn't even feel it really anymore. She's just there existing. So yeah, it is kind of sad to me, because that's how it ends up sometimes. So it's very well done.
And that's a really fantastic comment. And I appreciate the reminder that things don't always go according to plan. There are some things, and there are some times that in this lifestyle, there's actually contracts. Not every relationship has an actual contract that people sign, but there you can find yourself in an instant where you do sign a contract. You do understand what you'll be engaging in, the rules. It's a safe way to dictate, depending on how different people approach this lifestyle. And there have been times, I've known a few people who were in such a contract, and one of them actually fell in love with their master. It was a master-slave relationship. And so they fell in love with their master, and it was a breach of contract. They were not supposed to do that. They did, the contract ended, and there was a true loss there, just like any other relationship. But it is a reminder that these things don't always end well. These things don't always come, or you don't always approach it the same way that the other person does. And this can be a relationship that is just a normal relationship. It could be a relationship that's not so normal. But there's still those times when you want something more and the other party just doesn't. Maybe they never did. You could have a friends with benefits where the person is just happy as they are and they don't want any commitment, and you develop feelings. Those things unfortunately happen, and often those relationships come to an end because of it. And this poem, I think, really does kind of feature that. It's not just the loss of a relationship. It's starting to understand that you were never really much more to them than a pet, than a little doll for them to control, than for something to be leashed and to perform for them when they want and how they want. And it begs the question in the end. She says, my collar's tight, as you can plainly see. He's lost the love he once held for me. But it really makes you wonder, when reading through this whole thing, if there ever really was love, or was it just the love as an individual, or is it just the idea of love of listening to your favorite song that changes, a favorite performer that changes, something a little less solid that you can change without really seeing the person behind it. So I think this is just a beautifully dark, but hard to read, right? And Faith, what did you think of this?
It's definitely a sad piece. But the end where it says, my collar's tight, it says that after he's already called the curtain call. So it kind of makes me wonder if it's emphasizing that she still feels bound to the relationship, even if he doesn't. So her collar remains tight. She is still in some way his pet, even if he doesn't want her anymore, is kind of how I interpreted that ending. And I think Phil must have been a ballerina or really into ballet, because, you know, she uses the real terms and the French, brise de coup de pied, like some really good detail in there. So I think Phil must know ballet, and she did a beautiful job with that.
Really beautifully said. And you're right, Phil is, I always am so amazed by Phil, the way that Phil brings her knowledge and background. And I don't know if she was a ballerina, but it sure seems like it. But she has this beautiful way of bringing knowledge and complexity and eloquence into her pieces, that it just feels so effortless. And this is definitely one where it gives that elegance to it, using the words of ballet to bring it in. But, you know, I even danced ballet, and there's some of these words that I didn't know, but that's been like over 2 decades ago, unfortunately. So we won't talk about that. And we do have about 10 minutes left of the show. So what do you think, Master M? Should we try and fit in one more poem, or should we hear what Pam and Faith have going on this week?
Well, I still have my right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we still have Pam's right. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have Pam's right.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
We have a moment of silence. Did I drop?
No, you didn't drop. We just
okay.
We just got quiet. I had to go on mute because I had a cough, so I apologize.
Oh, is it on the board?
It is.
So...
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you knew that and you were going to grab it. Sorry.
Pam, go ahead and take this away when you're ready.
All right. All right, well, hopefully this isn't too corny. I wrote this just before the show. All right. This is the jewelry of my claim, and it goes like this. My pet, you're a damn fine specimen of masculine beauty, the granite revealing of the coal miner's velvet. You are that inhale of completion withheld. Beg for more and more and more. Plead for the pain, and maybe it will be given. Your hands wrapped into a prayer at my altar, wearing the jewelry of my claim, my dirty slave. I can taste the scent of your filth. Mmm, so damn good. I love the way you quiver and shake as I crisscross the stitch of my time upon your oiled flesh. I'm empowered. I'm entitled. I take what I want and want what I take. Come to me, my trussed-up piece of meat. Your mistress has an apple to stick in your mouth. My hungry little pet, don't you know? I starve you so that you will appreciate the feast and the offering. I drain you of your sexual energy so that I can reawaken you in your rawest form. a whole man rising in the redemption of love's honest touch. End poem.
Oh, Pam, this is definitely not corny at all. This is marvelous. And I'm so glad that you wrote this. Pam actually texted me before the show, and she goes, Victoria, do you need another write? And I was like, we are definitely in need of writes. And I am so glad that you wrote this, because this is truly marvelous. I'm going to have Master M start us off with his thoughts.
Well, as I've always said, I really can appreciate Pam's writing. She's actually, you know, even though I'm not one for comments, she's actually one of my favorite poets on the site, because, you know, her wording, the way that she, you know, goes about leading us on this journey, it's very powerful. Like, she has there's like an essence of just like a powerful, like fierce nature when she wants to. And then she can turn that into the blink of an eye and be something that's wholesome, fruitful, and what have you. But for this particular poem, she gets to it, says, your hands wrapped into a prayer at my altar, wearing the jewelry of my claim, my dirty slave. I could taste the scent of your filth. So damn good. I was like, damn, that's a good line. It's a pretty damn sassy and pretty sexy, if I may say so. But she goes into further. I love the way you quiver and shake as I crisscross the stitch of my time upon your oiled flesh. And there we go again with the multiple aspects as far as the senses of touch and the taste and, you know, even the smell, everything. It's all there. And you have no choice but to be there, you know what I mean? So it really draws you in. And I don't know, I liked it a lot. Another good one, Pam.
Thank you very much.
That is such a marvelous comment, Master M. And you're right, Pam really does have it. She's so diverse in her writing. She can be hard, and she can be dark, and she can be sensual in ways that are just both beautiful and just raw. And it's always marvelously expressed. So I think that you really hit your comment on the head, because there is these moments of sheer power in this that just give you goosebumps. They make you want to shiver in awe, and it's just marvelous, absolutely marvelous. And Faith, what did you think of this piece?
I really enjoyed it. I liked I crisscrossed the stitch of my time. I love when you say, I starve you so that you appreciate the feast and its offering. That really plays with the idea of the foreplay and the teasing and just like the anticipation part of things that builds up, so the actual touching is even stronger because it's been craved for so long. I think that you do a really good job with that. And, you activate all of the senses. So, nicely done.
Thank you.
Pam definitely does activate all of the senses. There is that teasing and that touching throughout all of this. I think what I really loved about this is that it comes off as a dominatrix, basically. There's this powerful woman who sees herself as above this man, sees herself appreciating him as a specimen, as a pet. It's enjoying the lowness of him. And let's be honest, even Pig saying, you know, the coal, the granite revealing of the coal miner's velvet, the idea of being covered in filth. It is not someone who people are going to walk by and be like, oh, yes. It gives the impression as someone who's been disregarded. But as you are going along with this, as you are enjoying him as he is, there's also that idea of he is this feast for you, but you are also a feast for him, for a starving, hungry man to be offered a feast, even if it is not, you know, the 1950s housewife. there is still a beauty in that. There is a reawakening, draining off what he has known so that something new can form, that the rawest nature of him is going to come about. And as a man, he will rise up into redemption. And then he will know love, not as someone who people have compromised for, but as someone who will love him exactly as he is. There's actually a real beauty and strength in this, because it's not just someone who is looking down upon a submissive or a slave, but it is someone who is helping to shape another person's perspective on themselves so that they can see more than what they have been told that they are. And I think that's just marvelous.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left, and there is chaos now ensuing in my house because I have a tiny human who has apparently woken up 3 minutes before the end of the show. So I'm going to have to go. But if Pam and FaZe would like to let everybody know what they've got going on, I would love to have you guys use that time as you see fit.
All right. You can go first, FaZe.
Thanks. So I have a contest for Thursday's show, Double Helix, about John Green. So he's an author, and it's quotes from him for inspiration. And then Babbler, who is my co-host for Friday's Part Sinner, Part Saint, which is technically Saturday because it's after midnight. She has quotes from the book The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. And there's some fantastic quotes that I'm sure could have amazing poems inspired them by them. So please check out Babbler's contest.
Very cool. Rex is running a contest for his next rhythm and rhyme featuring the music of ZZ Top. He's also running a contest with quotes from Clive Barker for an After Midnight show. For Twisted Tuesdays, I'm running a contest with various Latin phrases. Kind of hard to explain, but I think it's worth checking out. And for Into the Darkness, I got quotes from Algernon Blackwood. And for Break On Through, I have the art of Wassily Kandinsky, a piece of his artwork called Distinct Connection. So that's a whole lot of stuff going on, but as always, make sure to check out the hosts and hostesses, topic boards, and contests that the Late Night Poets have going on. There's sure to be something to inspire. All right, Mr. M, if you're still here, I guess, well, this is your show, so if there's anything you want to say to wrap it up, go ahead.
Well, I just appreciate everybody for showing up and for writing for the show and sharing all your wonderful poetry with us and your opinions and perspectives and all that. You know, it's really nice to hear people sharing, not just sharing poetry, but sharing the ideas of poetry and you know, kind of instilling the diversity between everybody. So I appreciate, you know, all of that and everybody showing up, and hope that everybody has a good week, and I will see you all next time. Have a good night, everybody.